You're listening to IndieNation TechNet News and Opinion. News that matters to you, news with listener participation. Google News.
Yeah, and we've got a story here that I handed to you earlier. And so we'll do the last one first. So this is from ArsTechnica.com, and it says Google will stop supporting climate change science deniers, and then they call them liars. So I thought this was kind of interesting, where corporations are going in and making a political stance and saying, well, we're not going to have our money go to companies that believe differently than us politically. And I thought that was kind of interesting. You could also say scientifically, but Eric Schmidt, you know, he said that it was a mistake to support the American Legislative Exchange Council, and they're a group that said human-created climate change could be beneficial and opposes environmental regulations. And they pretty much said that that group is just literally lying. So I don't know.
Like, you know, it's kind of interesting. I was listening to Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak on that podcast today, because yeah. I ended up having to take some time away from the editing. But and it's just like with this political correctness going on in our culture.
Yeah.
They're almost extorting these companies. Yeah. You know, you got to support us or you look bad. You got to support us or you look bad.
Yeah,
you know,
and well, I guess that's kind of the thing is, you could take. I don't think any of these places are denying that climate change is happening. That doesn't seem to be the issue. It's those words, human created climate change. I think that's where there's the debate. So I don't deny that climate is changing. You know, I think we have a lot of history and science to back that up. I don't know that our cars are causing the climate to change.
Why did
the climate change so much back in the medieval times?
Apparently, the group also opposes net neutrality in municipal broadband. And Google recently changed their stance on net neutrality regarding mobile service.
Yeah.
But, so there's more, but they're saying he didn't mention, excuse me. They're saying he didn't mention the stances on neutrality or broadband, but climate change.
Yeah, they're picking and choosing what they're taking stances on, because that's the issue is when, like with the net neutrality, when it benefits them enough, okay, they will take a stance that maybe they know isn't the right stance. Remember they said do no evil, but when they're saying okay, net neutrality is okay. When it fits into our business model, that's kind of going against that stance.
It's also like a little bit more feasible to change that stance because of the way the market's changed. We were talking about apps and streaming. It's almost like, you know, originally they were in favor of net neutrality. Are you with me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Originally they were in favor of net neutrality, not on mobile devices, because it was expensive.
Yeah.
And even though it's expensive, the demand is, I don't know. I, you know, we, Dick Tracy watched movies on his wristwatch, so maybe we should have seen it coming more, but it's just the amount of bandwidth that people want, mobile these days.
Yeah. But I think our infrastructure is getting to where it can handle it.
Well, that's part of it too. So open it up, right?
Yeah. But that's the thing is companies like Verizon and T-Mobile don't want to. You know, they should make it to where we have the option of getting different internet providers for our phone. And that was the big debate when they originally made it so that you could have multiple more competition in the
mobile
DSL market.
Yeah.
But back in the 90s, when they changed, they had that law they passed that said, okay, they need to be able to have other providers for DSL service, not just the one provider. It seems like we've hit that same point when it comes to mobile.
Right, right.
So I think that's going to be another issue. Yeah, that's something they're going to have to deal with. And I think the answer is, okay.
Net neutrality.
Yeah, well, and let me get another provider for my internet. If
right.
Verizon's going to charge too much,
competition,
let me get another provider. And right now, it's not built into where you can do that.
No.
So I think that's going to be the issue that they're going to have to deal with first. Is okay. I'll have cell phone service. If you go to a totally voice over IP phone system, you don't really need a provider anymore. Like with the Google Hangouts calling. You don't really need cell phone service anymore if you didn't want to, as long as you had internet on your phone. I mean, it gives you a phone number. You have all the texting. You have everything, but for no extra charge. And all you need is internet provided to your phone. So why are we paying for all these extra things?
Alternatives and an equal playing field is what's going to work on that. Like you said, like DSL.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a perfect solution, but it did get the market going in the right direction. So I've got another one here that's Google related. So Google, on our technica.com, Google's rumored Android Silver program is reportedly dead. This was going to be where they had this high-end stock Android phone that Google was going to be, selling directly to the carrier stores. And there looks like they are ending that program. Because this was going to be one of those big, because they have the Nexus devices, but this was going to be one that had just stock Android on it. Google's kind of known for doing this. Okay, here's a great idea. We're going to do this. Or they'll do it for a while, and then they'll shut it down.
Right, right. They don't stick with something if it's not perfect, if it's not working. It's functionality with them.
Yeah, and I mean that's okay, but what about people that are locked into something like Google Voice? What if they're merging it into Hangouts? Well, what if they drop that someday? What about all the people that have phone numbers in there?
Right, right. I don't think they will.
But they would. I mean, they could. Google's
sure
doing that, just like Reader. Oh, we're just not going to do it anymore.
But somebody would pick up that niche. It's too big.
Yeah. So yeah, this Android Silver was supposed to be this high-end stock Android phone. Kind of like what they did with the Nexus, but whatever it was, whether that's the market, maybe it's because of how much Samsung has picked up. Maybe they felt like Samsung was taking care of it. Do you think that might be what it was?
Well, the other thing is they're on all devices now.
Yeah.
Android, right? So I'm trying to think of the best way to say it. Is they probably can be more liberal with what they drop and not drop, and it's kind of like we were talking with the DSL competition and wireless competition in previous story.
Yeah.
There's other operating systems that are getting more and more that way, and I kind of was hoping that the Ubuntu mobile would make a bigger splash.
Yeah, I'm still waiting to hear of something being released that I could try on my phone.
But I mean, Google, I think, has got, like, if you're looking at, like, they've got a huge chunk of the market in mobile, don't they?
Yeah. Well, and they're going to be actually releasing this new Android L. Have you heard anything about that?
No. Not yet.
So they're releasing Android L. And this is going to be a more simplified version of Android. It's going to be kind of like what Apple did with their iPhone of getting it more simplistic of an interface. They're going to be doing that. And I know my phone is going to be getting it sometime in November, early December. So it'll be interesting to see if that'll get rid of a lot of these custom interfaces that some of these providers like HTC put on their phones, which have been kind of a problem because they'll put out a release of a new version of Android, and it takes these different carriers so long to get them out because these guys put all these custom interfaces on their phones. If they get to this more standard, simplified version of Android, get people start putting in. I think that's what they're hoping to do maybe with this Android Silver. If they can just get these devices putting on a more stock Android, that it'll be to where, okay, we rolled out an update to the Android, the phones will get them within a month. It's been the problem is a year later, and they're finally rolling out that release of Android to the phones.
Well, I'm not a big smartphone. I mean, I have Android, okay, but I haven't been a smartphone user since the Kyocera 3065s or whatever it was, and those were barely anything like today's smartphones.
Yeah.
And data was insane. You didn't do much. You didn't think about doing half the stuff you do today on a smartphone. But I think in general, would you agree it's getting better for, you know, I think Google is a huge share of the mobile market with their Android.
Yeah, they are. Well, and this we actually have another article. We can jump onto it really quick where it's related. Let me double check the link. This one's from TheVerge.com, where Google is making encryption standard in the next version of Android. So
yes.
Security-wise, and this is going to be in that Android L or Android 5. You know, people might notice that. They're going to be making it to where they have encryption built into it so that if someone were to steal your phone, you know, it's a very secure device. You know, this is something that I think is important. For a while, the BlackBerry, a lot of people are using that because of encryption and security. That went to the wayside. I think that if they could get a whole nother market, maybe with even government contracts, just by incorporating some of the security, because Android is already secure because it's based on Linux. You know, if they can incorporate some more of that security into here, I think they'll get a lot more users because of it.
I agree. And it's like, I think I would rather, I would be upset if I heard about them dropping this as opposed to the silver.
Yeah.
Maybe the silver couldn't do it easily.
Well,
maybe there's something we don't know about that, but I mean, this is, I this is
because
nice.
Of the Android L, I think that they made a decision in the conference rooms to say, all right, rather than us coming out with a device that does this, why don't we just release the next version of Android that does this? You know, make it so that rather than us releasing a stock, just let's make the whole release of Android, you know, fit this, and we'll just make the developers or these phone companies put it on their phones. And that seems to be what they've kind of done.
Yeah. So, and now they don't have to worry about whether their one device works. They know all these other things are going to bring them what they want because of all the other devices they're going to be deploying to as well.
Yeah. If they can get it to where Samsung, HTC, you know, they had Motorola, but whatever the brand is of the phone, if people go to it and they have the same feel and look, it's going to be much more like what, and that's the, I guess that's a benefit of Apple. You pick up an Apple device, you're comfortable with it, right? If that's what you're used to. That's not how it is with an Android phone right now. You can pick up one Android phone, go pick up another person's Android phone, and you'll have trouble finding things. Things will be different. And I think that's been a kind of a hindrance to Android, is the fact that that has been the experience. There's not that unified experience. And if they can get that on this next one and not allow people to do so much customization to it, as far as manufacturers say, hey, you guys just need to release this stock. If people want to customize their own, they can, but the manufacturers need to release their hardware devices with stock Android, because I think it's done nothing but hurt the market.
Right. Encryption, yeah, I mean, standard though, that's a feature.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I think with all the, like, Snowden-type news, Assange, .com, I think that is actually a good feature. Now, is Apple going to have to follow suit? Sure.
So, Apple is actually already encrypting user data.
Right.
In iOS 8, which is the new one they just came out with. So Apple, they just happened to put their release out sooner, but you know, I'm sure both of them, I don't know which one came up with it first. And Apple made an announcement here. They said the company said that not even it can bypass a user's passcode to access their data.
Okay, well, so I mean, but you know, so you see, this is a feature for phones now, encryption.
Yeah.
Should be for anything mobile, really.
Yeah, I think being able to lock down your device and knowing that you're, I mean, look at the recent releases when people hacked into iCloud. You know, all right. These celebrity photos that were leaked. People all the time are probably trying to steal these celebrities' phones. You know, if they can know that, all right, even if my phone is stolen without my password,
right,
they're not going to get anything off of my phone, that's a huge advantage for them. We don't run into that as much. But even if, you know, someone steals our phone and gets to pictures or gets to documents that we didn't want them seeing, that still feels, it feels like a huge violation. This totally protects against that. As long as you put a passcode on your phone. Like for me, I actually have, for my unlock, it's a, it reads my fingerprint.
Really?
Yeah, on my phone, I swipe my fingerprint along the button at the bottom, and that's how I unlock my phone. So if they do the encryption to this, the only way you'll ever be able to get data off of my phone is by being able to swipe my fingerprint.
See, I know people that would probably try to use their toe print.
Yeah, I know that. That's okay. I don't need to do that. So we got one more. We're getting pretty short on time.
Oh, we are real. 8 minutes. We got one more Google though, right?
Yeah. So we got another one here from ExtremeTech.com.
It's kind of ironic.
Yeah, Google's war on spam and how encryption could finally win it for the spammers. This has been kind of an issue of as you start to encrypt everyone's email. You know, kind of like what we were talking about, just like with Android, when everything is encrypted, well, how do you scan those emails to be able to see if they're spam without being able to decrypt those emails?
Exactly.
And see them. So it's hard for these. If you catch an email, like if you have a spam filtering device, and I think that this is kind of what they're hinting at. Let's say you have an enterprise level email and you put a device in there that's scans all the emails for spam, viruses, etc. Well, that all works when it's not encrypted because it can take the email, read the files, see what it is. But the second that you encrypt that data from the server,
you shouldn't be able to read it.
There's no way to scan those for viruses and spam. So this is making it
difficult.
More difficult. But they're going to have to come up with another way of doing this. Whether it's how they're going to scan these for spam, they'd have to almost do it on the end server. But with the way that Google runs their servers, I just don't see how they're going to be able to continue doing it after a certain period of time.
Well, it's going to be a problem. Another reason is a client that has filters on its own too.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is going to make it to where you're going to be encouraged to have
a non-Microsoft client
filtering it. But you could have like Avast. I use Avast on my Windows box that has spam filtering built into it. You know, if I wanted to hook it up to my email client. The problem is how does this work on Gmail? You know, if you go to gmail.com, it doesn't affect that.
Spamhouse.org works with some email clients.
Yeah, and you have to build it in. Right now, like for my servers, it spams it on my server or scans the email on the server. And gives it a rating. And then when they download it to their email client, it looks at that rating and then puts it in the spam filter. Actually, my server will put it in the spam filter for them in the spam folder. So if you're doing 100% encryption across multiple machines like these Gmail servers are, they're not all on one machine. That makes it more difficult for them to accomplish.
Yeah, I do personally. I just like clients for email because you also have your calendar to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It works. Call me.
Have you used Evolution?
That's what I'm using.
Yeah, that one works very well.
And it still syncs with my Palm M500. Yes, my tech is that old.
Yeah. That's the thing is I think that they're going to have to come up with another way of doing this. Maybe even something built into the client side. Even if you're, let's say you're on gmail.com, they could build something into your browser, you know, a plugin or something that you could do that would help you to scan emails or, I don't know. It's going to be difficult without downloading everything. They're going to have to come up with a new way of doing it.
Yeah. I don't know what it's going to be. They suggest some secure options at the end of the article.
You've been listening to Indie Nation Tech Net News and Opinion, which is recorded live every Monday night at 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you would like to get involved and participate, hit us up at 818-81-INDIE or news@indienation.fm. More news for you at the top of the hour, listeners.